It is 5:05 p.m. And could you please call the roll?
Criswell.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Lopez is absent and Sperry is absent.
Thank you. Good evening. How are you? Okay, I hope everybody's had a chance to look at the minutes from the February 8th meeting. Could I get a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion.
And second?
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So it's the three of us voting tonight, so it's going to go quickly with the votes. So, all right. So we're going to start out tonight with a project report. Nate, I got such great feedback about the report that you did last time, so thank you very much. I think people really felt like they deeply understood what was going on with each project, so we appreciate that. I have some specific questions, which I don't know if you want to give a little bit of a general, and then I can just do specifics, or I can jump right into specifics.
Let's try to jump right into specifics.
All right. Yeah. Initial response to the parks program.
Quiet. Initial response to quiet. We heard from two municipalities kind of casually that they were planning to apply, but they haven't really had any questions.
Okay.
So.
And what's the outreach?
It goes to all the municipal leaders.
Okay.
And it went to the legislature, so you should have that email and all information.
Okay.
And then, like, the planning department knows about it as well, because they talk to municipalities as well. So.
Okay. I'm just trying to think, with all these, are there other ways that we can get spreading the word? I don't have
any great... four municipalities.
Okay.
So there is that, so it doesn't need to go to the broader public necessarily.
Okay,
but
right.
If you have ideas, you can feel free to send them our way.
Okay.
If your municipal leader has questions, like, send them to us.
Right. Well, one of the things I've been thinking about, it came up last night, was somebody attending the supervisors meeting at some point, just to say, hey, we have a list of these projects, and just making sure you're aware of this list here. You know, and that's something that I was asking Amber to find out about, because I'd be happy to go.
So the executive's office does attend the supervisors meeting every month that they have.
Okay.
Generally, Chris or myself will go.
Okay.
So I believe that he made them aware that the application was going to be open.
Okay.
I don't think their March meeting has happened yet, so when they do, I'll make sure that's with when their March meeting comes, we'll make sure that they have the information for sure.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you very much for that. And the progress on CARES 2?
Yeah, I did... We did get an email on that today. So, and so they got back to us. They said that they received 270 applications, 180 eligible. So they met the criteria and could go on to review. Okay, so it's in the committee right now, and they're hoping to have the scores from the committee. It is a joint committee of three from the ledge and three from the county executive's side, and then they hope to have scores received from that committee on March 17th. They hope to have, the UCEDA board needs to approve before awards go out.
Mm-hmm.
So they hope to have awards out after the UCEDA board meeting of April 11th.
And I'm trying to remember, was there a target number that they were looking at of projects to support, or is it more about a mixture of how much funds and then how many great applications and sort of...
So, known from the contract that I think the cap is $35,000, and there's obviously some for admin. I think it's $900,000 that is direct support. So, if we can... When they can crunch those numbers, you get like the minimum awards.
Right. Okay. I'm imagining they'll be similar to the nonprofit process where, you know, there's a maximum award and some got less, and then there was a ultimate sort of conversation about can we add a little to this one and take a look at that one. I'm assuming that's probably going to be a similar kind of conversation. Okay. If anybody else has questions as I'm kind of going along here about any of these projects, jump on in and let me know. Okay.
Could I
absolutely
say aloud the math on that? So
sure.
It's 900,000 that's available for distribution, and there's 180. If they all qualified, that'd be 5,000 apiece.
No.
Is that what
35,000 would be the maximum that could go to. So 900,000 divided by 35,000.
Tells you how many awards. Well,
that'd be the minimum amount of awards.
That's 25.
Yep.
Okay. Or 26. 25.
So that's just to give you.
If they all got the.
If they all got the maximum, exactly.
So somewhere between the two numbers that we each looked at.
Right.
Would probably be what happens.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening. Hello, legislators.
Sir.
Second round of sewer and water response.
There was one application for round two, so it's from the town of Esopus, so they did apply, which I know was, they were interested, so mm-hmm. they did put in an application. The dollar amount they're asking for is not terribly high, so there is actually about $350,000 left mm-hmm. that was unallocated, just outright.
Mm-hmm.
The application, to be fair, is being reviewed currently by the evaluation committee, so it hasn't been awarded yet, but...
So there will be a moment in time where we say these two rounds are completely done, there is not going to be any more money spent on it, and there will be a balance left over that then goes back into our, whatever we're calling it, reserve fund or slush fund or something like that, back into the pool. Do we have a date where we're going to actually say that goes from this column to this column?
I would think it's imminent.
Yeah, I think of it in terms of a question to finance, so to the commissioner of finance and all the folks who oversee that. You know, because a lot of times I'm glad we're in the Department of Finance because there can be a lot of process caught up in how money, you know, obviously the capital project has been awarded to a certain amount, so I think this one is a capital project, so what the mechanism is to appropriately document and transfer that money is really a question we should work to figure
out. Let's think about that, because, yeah, once it's all awarded, there's no more openings. That's
right.
Correct.
So once the project's just closed and you're not going to offer any more awards?
We did our round two, and we've received an application. So
Perfect. The
truth is, like, the balance we have left over, unless there's some other idea out there, which honestly we have plenty of work, that's the balance that will be left.
Okay. I saw Legislator Litz and then Legislator Petit.
Prior to turning the money over, would you consider allowing those not eligible for round two to reapply?
So people
for a second project.
It was one award per municipality, so those municipalities who were awarded for round one were not part of round two.
Was anybody
right.
denied?
So what you're saying is open it up to, so one municipality could get two awards.
Yep.
Rich.
For several municipalities,
can we do like
get more than one award.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the question: is can they get more than one award? We did have maybe one or two inquiries.
Well, that's a legislative decision.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's your decision.
Right.
But it is relevant that they had inquiries from municipalities who had additional projects and would be interested in such an offering if we decided to make it.
Can we get an idea of how many and to what monetary amount that would be?
So I can offer that in round one we did receive from two different municipalities, Rosendale, I believe it was, and Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
They each submitted two applications and
mm-hmm.
were awarded one.
Mm-hmm.
We have documentation on those two applications not awarded. I don't have that off.
I was just going to
yeah.
say, what I'd love to do is if we can use this money for this project, that would be great. So I am personally open to this conversation about going back. Since we've been very clear about offering this to municipalities, we've gotten the responses that we have, and I think that if we have two that from the same municipality, I think we should really consider it. But I'd love to hear other people's thoughts on this.
Yeah,
well, I'm good with it, but if that's the case, I'm going to put back in for another one myself. I mean, but I think it's a matter of what the resolution stated at that time. We're going to have to, again, on our end, rewrite the resolution or do something beyond that, because it's the first one was written and accepted and done. The second round was written and done.
Right.
We're going to have to go to a third one if we're going to say any municipality wanting a second round.
I agree. I think it's only fair that it be open back up again to all municipalities. I don't honestly think it's just fair to have the two, if we only have two that were in the hopper that were, you know, double applications to only allow those to be considered, I think is not the right thing.
But in essence, though, we did just open it up to all municipalities.
The second round?
We didn't open it for a double, you know, a double award, but what we did was we opened it up to all municipalities who had not applied in the first round. So if they didn't apply in the first round, they didn't apply in the second round, why would they apply in the third round?
No, not worrying about those. I think what Aaron's trying to say is, to use my example, Marlboro, we applied in the first round, received it. We did not apply in the second round because we were ineligible.
Right.
But if it's going to come back up, I'm going to apply in the third round.
I see what you're saying.
Because I've got another project.
I understand what you're saying. So it's in addition to those who have had two applications, we would open it to. I guess we have to think about money at this point then, because we're talking $300,000? $350,000. Okay. So I think we should use this money for the purpose that we set it aside for, and if that means creating a whole, yet a third round, which opens to people who have applied once and received funding, to people who have not applied. I mean, just basically, it's like a whole third round.
Yeah.
Right? Is there any regulation saying we can't do that? I mean, we could basically make up those rules, right?
You do.
Okay.
I think we do have that latitude. There's a question of the workload of the people who have to score and so forth for a relatively smaller part of money. However, I agree with the idea this was money for these kind of projects.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion would be to consider limiting the projects to a certain dollar amount so that we get three or four more communities getting something that moves a project along, and that we time it in such a way that it works for the ARPA team or whoever's going to be involved in the scoring process. Writing the resolution is relatively easy. It's more the administration of, you know, it takes just as much effort to manage a $35,000 project as a $3 million project.
Legislator Levine, and then I saw you, Legislator Petit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in response to the statement by Legislator Nolan, I agree that I think we want to try to open this up to as many projects as possible, and potentially even if it's not fully funding it. But then I do have the other side of me also just questions then, are these municipalities going to go through with the project if they have to find alternative funding sources to complete the project? So, ultimately if something falls through, you know, we have our commitment, and if it can't complete the process, then where does that leave us? Mm-hmm. That's my question on that.
Let me ask one quick question about fairness across the board. I mean, you all know the supervisors. Is there going to be grumbling among supervisors of, okay, Marlboro got two projects and we didn't get any project, even if they didn't apply? You know, will that still be an issue, or do we care?
You didn't preclude them from applying.
Got
so.
It. Okay, I'm just thinking, you know.
And this is one last pass.
Thinking about it. Legislator Petit.
Thank you. I've talked to several mayors and supervisors about this. The first round was completed. We had the additional money, so we put out a second round. And ASOPAS hadn't submitted the first time. I'm glad to hear that they did. And there had been a couple of suggestions. One was, you know, why not incrementally just take that $358,000 and divide it equally amongst all of the other projects, which may be difficult because I think three of them have been paid for already.
Mm-hmm.
I know we approved one. One I think was under $50,000. One was last month, and there's one on this month.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of it is. They do also have additional projects like you do. New Paltz had an additional project. So we could open it up across the board, or, and this is a little bit of a stretch, we could open it up to the towns that don't have water and sewer and do a feasibility study. But engineers, I don't know. That was a problem with itself, because we must have 15 to 20 different feasibility studies on sewer and water and stormwater, and what we really needed was the money to finish the project.
I think of those, thank you for those, laying out those options. Personally, I think of those options, we should stick with the direction that we're already in and what we've already established as what this project is, rather than changing sort of the scope of the project. But I would be up for us trying to do yet a third round, open it up to municipalities that have already received a first round and see where we go. What do you think? I know this is work.
No, and to dub.
Sorry.
just to respond on those thoughts, I'm glad you brought up just the direction we've head in, because we have created rules for the grant. Like, obviously, there's a match component, there's a maximum dollar amount threshold, and we've done our best through round two to try to keep as much of that in place as possible. And I think part of the fairness is trying to do the same with the third, is kind of where my brain goes. I also just have there was brought up the workload issue, and I do think it is important for the committee to know that we're pretty full with our workload, so we do have to make choices about what moves first and what moves second, and a lot of that it's tricky to decide, because I realize that, you know, municipalities are waiting on this funding, and spring is coming, and there's a lot of other factors, particularly when you look at capital projects. So there is and sewer and water is one, given the 12 capital project contracts, which are a bit more complicated than others, there is a bit of a, you know, intensive review and contract writing process to each one, which we're doing our best to simplify. So anyways, all that's just to say that we are thinking in terms of, do we focus on just getting these contracts out, or do we you know, when I think of round three, it's like, okay, round three or contracts, and there's a little bit of that in play.
The issuing of a third round is discretionary. So I think that getting these contracts out for people who've already been awarded the money is a priority. And so maybe you just revisit it of, you know, when you've gotten that work really smooth and flowing and you've got a little capacity, then we could come back to the question of the third round and offer it at that point. Maybe during the winter when, you know, we'll be teeing things up for next spring.
What do you gentlemen think?
Yeah, let's get these issued. We've already had a conversation. We've got municipalities that have been approved waiting on the money with projects that are in motion.
Right.
So depending on that money. So let's get that done, and I think that's a good idea. It's not going anywhere. We're going to have that pot at the end. This 300 and something is going to be sitting there.
Okay.
I don't think there's a rush at this point. Everybody's got an opportunity twice to look at it.
Got it.
So at this point, just let's hold on.
That sounds,
I've got enough work.
That sounds good to me. So we'll put the idea on in a holding pattern. Great. Any more thoughts on that? Great. All right. Progress on Boost for Main Street.
Yep.
Let me go back to this one second. When we do this, do we do have to do a new resolution to actually create a third round?
I think we do.
Okay, so we'll start the language on that at some point. So, do we have to?
Yes, you do.
Because we do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does it have to go through ARPA or just through Public Works?
Through
Public
ARPA.
Others, yeah.
ARPA, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. All right. Boost for Main Streets.
Yep. So we are working on the contract for UCEDA. This has gone through both funding resolution approval and contract resolution approval. The contract has been reviewed and approved by the county attorney. Basically, just looking at some less legal pieces, I did provide some comments to economic development, which I think they were receptive to. I think they're very full. Partly because, you know, they are in the middle of the small business round two, I am eager. So after that meeting, I think it was acknowledged that, you know, there was something in the contract, like the eligibility criteria would be in there. You know, we need to build in, they need to write instructions. There's a whole program here to create beyond the contract, and I think they're looking to do more of that, and I think that's a wise move, actually. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just eager to hear back from them when they're ready. But that, given their workload, I think that one's taking a little more time. But I am, on our end, I'm very aware of that the contract is currently not signed and that we need to get it there so that we get obligated and things happen.
Sure. And is this another one that the word is getting out that this program is out there and kind of heads up? And
we haven't done any direct outreach. I think that would be, because this is a UCEDA directed program, I mean, they really are the subrecipient and they are running the program.
Right.
That is really a question to them in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. One of the values of subrecipients is that we can pick qualified, you know, able organizations to run larger programs,
right,
which we might not be able to get to. So,
right,
so I can maybe get back to the committee, but it's a good question.
So I've never sat in on a UCEDA meeting. Has anybody sat in on UCEDA?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Might be interesting. I might
sit on everyone.
Oh, you do. You're right. You're a member. So okay. So is this part of the conversation, the Booster Main Street program, and it's all good? Okay, great. All right. Land bank update.
Yep. Got it. So the first thing I kind of want to bring to the ARPA committee's attention is that we've obviously had a substantial shift in the Commissioner of Finance on the fourth floor. There's two things I have flagged that I want. There are technical things, and I want to address them to the best of our ability. This funding was approved in 2022, and I understand it's in a it is in the operating for 2022, I believe, within the legislature, and I haven't looked it all up. So, but I think what needs to happen is we are going to on the technical side, to move the funding into 2023, we are likely going to need a resolution to go in front of the legislature because this to make this happen for 2023 for operating at this point.
Okay.
Particularly because they're just, a lot of times a purchase order can be created and then it can be rolled, but that hasn't occurred, and I just want to make sure that.
Do we even know the status of the actual project, though? I mean, that's really what I'm.
Yeah, I know. So that's a very technical piece.
Is this the land bank with the county?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I know a bit.
I mean, I think I'm allowed to speak on this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, I'll
speak
on it.
Conversations,
exactly,
with the city of Kingston,
mm-hmm,
so like
right,
they're in process of doing all of that.
Right.
I'm fairly positive it's in Tracy's hands at this point to submit.
Yeah.
I believe is where we're at.
I think you all remember that
there work to be done.
There was the issue with the state allocating only so many land bank
per county.
Yeah, per, yeah, exactly.
Also statewide.
Exactly. And so I think the hope was always that we could merge with the city of Kingston, and some of those conversations stalled last year, and I think those are being picked up again. So I personally think that would be the strongest thing that we could do. And then if we have to do technical.
Yeah, we
stuff,
just want to make sure,
that we're
shifting moves
the money
to 2023
right,
the way it should. And
yeah,
so I'm watching some of those things because
okay,
I don't want somebody to be like, "Yeah, land bank, we're going to do this," and,
right,
and then we'll put the monies back in 2022. So
right, okay,
those are the things I worry about.
All right. All right, moving on. This was another big question I had. So the jail demolition, that's gone. So the jail is gone. It's flat there. There's nothing there. What's happening with the building? And that's what I want to know. Is you know, so we demolished that jail to put up low income housing and workforce housing. And I personally want to know where that is in the process and what the stall is and how we as a committee can do something about getting that moving. If there is something we can do about that.
Yeah, so right, Ken Rose. I don't know, because it's not directly in ARPA's purview, but
yeah,
we can get back, certainly, and try to provide some.
Did you want to say something?
the stall at this time, to my understanding, with the city of Kingston council and whether or not pilots and such were going to be provided, and I think that's where negotiations were and are.
Okay.
I'm not sure where they continued after that.
I would love for us to have some sort of voice in this conversation, since we were the ones who really initiated the funds to, you know, when we provided the funds to get that jail demolished for a very specific intent, and I would hate to see that change midstream. And so I'm going to try and follow up on that, and you know, maybe I'll grab a few of you and we have a meeting with the mayor. And
you want me to have Chris update with you tomorrow, because he can probably give you a better, more comprehensive,
that would be
like
great,
full update, as opposed to the last thing that I was aware of.
That would be great. That would be really great.
Okay, I'll have Chris do it tomorrow. It might be him or Amanda.
Thank you.
If we have to go down there, Peter, with some shovels, let's we'll go down and start.
The intention is not changed.
Okay.
It's just the director was having.
All right. Legislator Erner.
No, never mind.
Okay. Those are my burning questions. Do you have other things you want to talk about?
I don't think we have to go over the whole list, and I thank you for the questions. I think that's actually great. I did want to mention Quality Inn, because I think that was something we've been working on for a year, and I'm very happy to report that we received a signed contract from the town of Ulster. It was wonderful, and that is now going forward with the Ulster County signing process.
And I want to acknowledge your team for the careful negotiations that happened. I was on one of those calls, and so thank you for that, and you know, so thank you.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful to
It was good. Actually, those questions that came up were very good in a lot of ways, and really, you know, it's good to have somebody who really looks at the details in such a fine tooth comb sort of way, and I think that helps us build better contracts. So, you know,
right,
ultimately, good thing.
Yeah. So let's see. I can also say that I did receive from the town of Ulster copies of the town of Ulster's contract with their project engineer for both sewer and water. So it's nice, and that's a huge pre-development piece, but it's nice to see those details as far as like the initial things they're going to do with the project engineer to get the full plans and whatnot. I did reach out to DPW and ask, there was a question I think last month about crisis stabilization. They did receive their demo permit. So on the fourth floor, which is going to be that work will be done by the Department of Public Works as far as renovations for mental health to move in. Just on the fourth floor, they could start as quickly as the beginning of next week. Full plans are still needed for the first floor, but that's moving.
So I had a question about the ARPA team's time.
Okay.
Are you all spending time working on pieces that were not specifically connected with ARPA funds? Like, our funds were basically to create the stabilization center. They weren't necessary to create the Department of Health.
Oh, this was
Department
basically...
You know what I'm saying?
I think I do. There's one major project that we're running, which is kind of an offshoot of the $700,000 used to buy 21 Elizabeth Street. We have been designated project management to continue on that project.
Okay.
So there is a significant workload there, and we are continuing with it.
Okay.
And kind of glad to. I think it's a great project, but...
I just think we as an ARPA team should know that that's an allocation of the ARPA funds toward your department, you know, for your workload. So it's good for us to understand that that's been an added piece to it. That's not necessarily ARPA. It's ARPA adjacent is what it
Thank
really
you.
Is.
You
know?
That's an okay. Thank you. Yeah. I'm wondering how to.
And for crisis stabilization, like for the mental health, and we've been, the executive's office has been working obviously with them a lot to help. So it's not just them.
So here's the question I was trying to drill down to. Thank you for this. So are the hours being paid for by county funds or by the federal funds, I guess is what I want to know. Is there a parsing of those hours? Or is it's all federal funds, it's all ARPA funds?
Our salaries are paid by ARPA funds.
Got it. Okay. All right. That's good to know. And, you know, I'm not knocking it. I just think, again, like awareness, you know. So if anybody on the committee has questions about that. So, all right. you were practicing.
All right. Oh, I did have a report on mental health for kids in school, and then I had a little something on brownfields, because this is all, I think, things that were asked last month that I just wanted to respond to. And I do believe mental health for kids in schools is, there's a lot of reporting going on with the Health Human Services Committee, but wanted to bring some information to ARPA as well. 53 youth have been referred countywide. 18 are enrolled and receiving services. There's new staff that are continuing to be onboarded. And I think that was nice to hear because they were, only a few weeks ago, they were still hiring for 3 therapists and 1 case manager. Mm. They are, hearing from Department of Mental Health, they are very positive about the program and are feel like they're getting good results.
That's great. This is definitely one of those programs that we're going to want to talk about, you know, how we spend our money and what the results are. And it's great to start to get some numbers attached to it. So thank you.
I wasn't able to get it to the clerk of the legislature in time. There was a question regarding brownfields and Block B. This is which properties mm-hmm. those were. It's 8 properties. I can read them right now if people just want to know what properties
sure.
they are. I do feel like this is, you know, this is a county contract and went out to RFP, so I think this is. So we have 480 Maiden Turnpike in Saugerties. We have 331 Route 212 in Saugerties. We have 141 John Street East in Kingston. We have 872 Neighborhood Road in Lake Katrine. We have 114 Eastern Parkway Extension in Saugerties. We have 725 First Street, Kingston, 58 Brigham Lane, Lake Katrine, and 1231 Main Street in Kingston.
Are any of these properties controversial that anybody knows of or anything?
What was the first one you, in Malden Turnpike, you said?
So the
480.
Maiden Turnpike.
Malden.
It's Malden Turnpike.
Right, it's
Malden.
Yeah.
And we'll that'll be provided to that list to committee members, right?
We can certainly, if you'd like to have this list.
Can you add it to the? I mean, would that be easy, right? I mean,
thank
is there
you.
A place yeah. where you could just to the brownfields and say, here's our.
I was going through the list of questions and I was able to get that.
Get to it.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
That sounds great. All right. Anything else from any other members of the team? All good?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you so much. Any questions for Nate? All right. I'm going to move us along a little bit. The tracker. So you can see the updated tracker. We're now getting into the negative number down here. So and then we get here one day, and here we are. I mean, you can see at this point now the current allocation. With all the current allocations, we're at 2,800,000 and some change, and then some proposed allocations. If they all go through, we will be in the red by 1,000,002. So we're going to have to make some decisions about that, which actually leads me to the resolution. So unless there's any other questions about the tracker. Okay. So can I have a motion for discussion for resolution 541?
Motion.
And a second?
Second.
Great. Thank you. All right. So we've been kind of holding this one for quite some time now, and I actually wanted to have a conversation with Legislator Petit since she's here. We had a conversation a little bit with Legislator Maloney, and I think his feeling was, he said it clearly that he would be willing to kind of pull this one out of consideration, and I wanted to see if you felt the same way, because we're now going to be in round 3 of giving out this water for this water and sewer money, and I think that it's pretty clear that we're doing our best job to try and get what we've already allocated, that we also don't need an additional large allocation. So would you consider withdrawing this?
Yeah, I came in here ready to fight for this, but, you know, considering that we still have, you know, that money, it's, you know, you know, I'm sure if we kept tweaking it, the towns would jump on. But no, it's okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we all, I think, appreciate the sentiment for sure. And I think we've done our best job to make sure that we've got that. So thank you very much for doing that. So.
If I could add a comment about that, I think that, and it's in general about this negative number, that if there are things that we have done because of the federal money coming in that we feel we should be doing more of, then we can do that through other sources of funding. And so I think that anything that is withdrawn or that doesn't get funded, mm-hmm. or that needs to go forward, we can write resolutions to make sure that that happens when we've got the right project.
I think that's correct. I mean, we have a surplus, so we have a surplus. Right. Let's talk about that. So, is there any other further discussion for Resolution 541? Again, appreciation. Thank you very much. All right. Do we have to? We don't have to do anything other than that. Okay. All right. So, a motion to discuss Resolution 78. Is the ARPA solar infrastructure project.
Just me and you.
I will make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
And a second.
And I'll second it.
Thank you. All right. Would you like to talk to us a little bit about this?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Solar, I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, we look at it at the county level at every project we do, every renovation we do, every roof we do. So to put this forward to give the municipalities an opportunity to get a piece of this is what I was looking for, and the co-sponsors with me. So I've just given you just like this project summary, and this is just an idea of what we could what solar does, and unlike some of the other projects, engineering, shovel-ready projects. This is easy because what happens is the solar companies come in, no matter who you decide, and you get your prevailing wage, your three bids, whatever it happens to be, it's done within the week. You get your numbers, you know where you're at, and you're ready to go or you're not. So having a study done, having the engineering done, having all that to be put aside, like on some of the other projects, the water and sewer project had to be shovel-ready. It was a big project, engineering. This is very simple. So in the simple summary of the example project that I put forward, you can see this is 147 solar panels that were being put on a roof at a total cost of $284,000 and $284,519. With that, there's the NYSERDA grants that they kick back at $25,000 and change, and the direct pay, the investment tax credit that's come from the Inflation Reduction Act. And that's another $77,000. So this project at $284,000 to go on a municipal roof at 147 solar panels to solar the entire building at a cost of $181,000 after the NYSERDA grant and the Reduction Act credits that you get. So with our matching grant on top of that at the 50% match, in this example, they'd get another $90,000 out of Resolution 98. Bringing the cost down for that municipality at about $90,000. So you're getting a $284,000 solar project to completely energize that municipality's building for $90,000. So we want to consistently push solar, and I'm in agreement with that. And if the municipalities could get the help from the federal government, you get the help through NYSERDA, I don't see why we don't help them get there with some of the money here to get, again, almost a $300,000 project down to $90,000 at a total cost of the municipality. And that's what this resolution does. And again, what it does is it cuts through a lot of red tape, again, as far as engineering and shovel ready, because everybody's ready. At this point, find a building, it's got a roof, and get somebody out there. You know, I put a packet out there. There's all those companies. They come give you an estimate. Within a week, you've got your numbers. You're ready to submit. It doesn't really hinder anybody. So that's my spiel on that.
I want to thank you for submitting this. I love this project. I think it's great. And when you said it to me, I was like, oh, why didn't we think about this before? So it's really, I think it's terrific. And it's one of the things that we've talked about is leveraging other dollars. So it really does that really well. So I think it's terrific. I don't have any big questions about it. Legislatively,
just to bring to the attention of the committee, thanks, Mr. Chairman, that this was passed unanimously in Energy and Environment last week, and you know, had the the strong support of the chair and myself as well. So very happy to support this project.
That's great. Legislator Petit?
Thank you. I was hoping the sponsors would consider adding EV on there as well, only because I'm going to be selfish. This focuses on their second phase of the landfill, solar on their landfill. Mm-hmm. They have it on their town hall. They have it at the library. We've done solarized the Sophus. We don't have any EV charging stations, and I don't know if you would consider that with a language change. Of course, it wouldn't nearly be as much, but or keep the percentages the same.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, like I said, when we were writing this, they told me to get a little bit more specific, so that's what I went with. But I would not have a problem with changing that language at all. I mean, because again, it's all about moving in that right direction.
Could it possibly already be included in the language of Ulster County wishes to partner with the municipalities to establish a program to match up to 50% of the total cost of each solar infrastructure project? So
it's pretty broad language. So
I don't think it would be precluding that.
Right.
That was my intent.
Yep, I think that's nicely played.
Done.
I read you well.
That's excellent. Legislator Earner.
Is that a thing? Just to do we have such a thing as solar electric vehicle charging? Is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We need much more of it.
In fact, our building inspector said we could connect to our maintenance building, which is for the solar field. Mm.
So there you go. One thing I do feel strongly about is that we stick with our own protocol. And so what I'd like to suggest is that we postpone this, send out the scoring sheets to all the committee members, get the scoring sheets finished, send it back to the committees, and move it forward then in that direction. That seem right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no objection.
Thank you. All right.
Motion to postpone.
Motion to postpone.
I'll make that motion.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
All right. And Mr. Chair, if we could just get the requirements on scoring, for deadlines and getting the matrix.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll go out ASAP.
I'll send it out right away.
Perfect, thank you. Motion for discussion for resolution 88, please.
Motion.
And second?
I will make that second.
All right, so this is the Hudson River Watershed Alliance with funding for administrative and programmatic support services to assist various agencies in Ulster County. So I had some conversations with the sponsor regarding, once again, we try to set up a precedent where everyone in the county has access to our ARPA funds, and we're trying to make it really equitable. And that's still my only problem, even though I keep hearing the argument that this serves a lot of the county, I'm still not understanding how all aspects of the county have a fair shot at getting some of this money. And so that's my biggest concern with this, because we've done it now with several of our resolutions where we put it out to all sides. And so this still feels a little bit like a member project to me. So that's my biggest concern with this at the moment. Legislator Nolan?
I think you make a good point. The alternative to taking this, which has kind of flowed into this committee, would be to put out some kind of request for proposals along these lines. And then you would have that opportunity in a more transparent way.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's been pretty clear that there is ARPA money and that the committee was looking at various projects and some different, I think no community has been excluded, mm-hmm. or no set of agencies has been excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the areas served by the Hudson River Watershed Alliance do not have access to the stream management programs that serve the watershed of New York City. And so one of the reasons that I support this is that it provides funding to areas of the county that don't usually get as much support for their watershed issues because they're not in the New York City watershed. They drain into the Hudson River, or they drain into the Delaware County or someplace else. So one thing that we could ask the sponsor to do, and I'm sure he and this group could do, would be to look at that and see how much of this money would go to communities that are not being served through some other process. Mm-hmm. I think it's not all of it, but it's substantial, mm-hmm. just from what I know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at with the sponsor was, you know, I don't know this world that well, mm-hmm. but I'm imagining that there are probably other entities that are similar enough to the Hudson River Watershed Alliance that could use these funds to do similar projects. So how can we take it and bump this up a bit and offer it out to other organizations other than just this one organization? So I don't know how to do that personally, but I think that would be my preference for the use of ARPA funds, but please.
Yeah, I think that's where we started and where we're at today is, you know, the broadness of it instead of the narrowness into an individual community or a single project. So, whereas, again, I sympathize, but if this is not a broad resolution into more communities, it's hard for us to justify what we've been doing for the last year and a half to just go to one project. So, if the sponsor was to make this a little bit more open to all the communities in some way, then it would fit our scheme of what we've been doing.
Well, I did ask the sponsor if I could be a co-sponsor, and I don't know at what level he has agreed to that, but I'm certainly happy to go and talk with him and bring this message. I'm sure he would be happy with a month to work on that and maybe bring it back and make the case.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. That would be great because I believe in the project, mm-hmm. and its intent. I just feel that again, you know, comparing it to all of our other projects, we have to sort of have the same kind of criteria across the board. So, other thoughts on this? Okay. So what I'm going to suggest is that we postpone or take no action. Right. Yeah, we're going to postpone it, and we're going to send out the scoring sheet like we've done. So, motion to postpone.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So this is postponed, and we'll send out a scoring sheet. And thank you, Legislator Nolan, for stepping up and talking about making some adjustments to it. Because again, I think it's a worthy project. Let's see if we can make it work within the criteria. All right. Motion to discuss resolution 89, which is regarding the Ulster County Historical Society.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. And this is gonna be the same argument that I have, which is basically it's one specific member project. And it's very, this is even more laser focused in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's very, very tightly connected to one project in one district. So again, if there was some sort of job mentorship program that somehow connected historical societies in general across the county, and we could kind of beef that up and send it out, you know, countywide, I mean, we now are getting to the point where we have to look at our money as well, because if everything's passing, you know, even with Legislative Petit graciously pulling that resolution, we're still in the negative, you know, by $200,000 or so. So anything that passes at this point, if the solar passes at its full amount, will have to be from whatever these reserve funds that come back to the pot. So this might be all semantics at this point, you know, that we might not even have the money to be doing it. But I want to keep going so that we have the projects queued up appropriately when there will be money that comes back. I'm sure that there will be money that come back, and so we can have these projects queued up. So I'd love to hear other people's thoughts on this. Anybody from the committee?
Spot on to the last resolution. It's too specific.
Legislator Nolan.
So this is for a countywide historical group. It is located in a community, but it serves all of Ulster County. And there is a mentorship program that's included in it, and I think the director of the mentorship program would be completely open to the idea of having that countywide focus become a specific goal of the people who come in for the mentoring program, the apprenticeships. I did reach out and did find a donor to partially match some of this. Mm-hmm. So it's a small amount anyway.
Right.
So if we could look at lowering the amount that is requested, and if the project description could emphasize that countywide benefit, would that be worth working on?
I think we can look at it. Again, it's... I just am not sure why it's here in ARPA, truthfully. It just doesn't strike me as an ARPA-funded program. I feel like the sponsor was looking for funds for it, and it didn't get funded through the budget process, and so it's back to the ARPA process again. And so I feel like he's shopping it around, and I'm just not sure, truthfully, that it belongs here.
It's a non-profit, right?
Yes.
It is a non-profit, yeah.
Why didn't they qualify through the non-profit?
That's a good question. Did they apply? They did not apply.
I looked at that today.
There were other historical societies that did that. So they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very, very good point. So what I'm going to suggest is that we postpone this, we send up the scoring sheet, and then we get back and Legislator Nolan, if you do have adjustments to it, that and then the other question that I had also was the continued funding, which I heard something last night about possible continued funding for it. But again, we're trying to do projects that become self-sustaining, that we don't have to think about it becoming a burden to the county in the future. So if that question can be answered, or like if this is a once and done infusion of cash to set up a program that then has its own legs, that would ease my mind a little bit, but right now it seems like, okay, then where's the money going to come from? Even if it's a small amount, you set up a program and then it doesn't have funding sources for the next year, and then it dies, you know. So where would that come from? All right, so motion to postpone.
Motion.
And a second.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. And this is our last resolution here. And do I have a motion for discussion for Resolution 90?
I will make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Second, please. Thank you. I feel like there's a comedy routine. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. All right. So this is really the contract for... Is this the contract?
Yes.
Yeah, for the one of the water and sewer projects, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is the intermunicipal agreement, water and sewer, phase one wards. So public works, okay, it's following ARPA. It was approved in Ways and Means unanimously, and I don't know if we really have to have discussion on it because we've already approved it, so I'm just going to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so that passes. Thank you. I don't have anything down for either new or old business. Does anybody guess?
I wouldn't mind giving a heads up to the ARPA committee regarding resolutions we have coming up for next month. we have prepared the contract for the town of Ulster, so that will go in for sewer and water. But there's two resolutions we're looking at, which are really trying to resolve two issues that are out there. One is that there were closing costs for 368 Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So the funding authority was $2 million for that acquisition. There was about $56,000 additional in closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
And we do need to bring a resolution at this point to ensure that we have correct funds to pay the architect. And so we will be doing that and requesting that of the legislature to stay in good standing with all the current needs.
Got it.
And we are happy to provide the backup and all the documentation.
All right. We're just going to have to start thinking we're in negative money mode now. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the reality. And so as things like this come up, it's like, okay, if we say yes to this, then we have to say no to this, or we have to reduce this.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the money, which is great, but now we're at that place we knew we'd get to. So.
So the second one, so that's the second of three resolutions. The third one we are looking at closer to make sure, but we want to, so this is on Respite House, and I think there's already been a bit of a discussion about earmark allocation. We looked again today at the resolution 28 of 2022. It does say dedicating funding, but there's just a lot of specifics on the financial side and how it. So we want to just bring a resolution with all the bells and whistles, mm-hmm. so that money of $1.5 million, mm-hmm. which is already getting reported on, is truly has like funding codes attached to it. All the bells and whistles.
Yes.
Do okay. That. Great.
Yeah. There shouldn't. I don't know why there's a question about it anyway. True. But if there is a question and we need to have a resolution to lock it, lock it.
Thank you.
So. Yeah.
Thank you to the committee.
Sure.
Thank you to the
committee. All right. Nothing else. A motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. Come on, do it. Do
I'll
it.
Second it.
Thank you. All in favor. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you for your kind attention. See you again.
601.
Good.